Let's turn in our Bibles to page 1867. 1867 to Hebrews 5. And we'll read verse 11 of chapter 5 through verse 12 of chapter 6. Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 6, verse 12. And our text this morning is verses 11 through 14 of Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. And we want to look at this again, Lord willing, this afternoon and then again tomorrow morning with God's help. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Where the writer has just described Jesus as the one designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And that's in verse 10. And then he says, we have much to say about this, Jesus Christ, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown Him as you've helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. There ends the reading of God's word. May He bless us by it, challenge us by it, and bring us forward in our faith through it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today and tomorrow morning, I want to spend time on God's call to each one of us to make progress in our faith and godliness. It's God's call to us. Let us move on to maturity. Hebrews 6, verse 1. That's the center of this whole passage. Let us move on to maturity from regress. That's what we want to look at now, this morning. From backsliding. Not progress, but the opposite. From regress. Moving away. Going backwards in our faith. To progress. This afternoon we want to look at that. And moving forward with patience as we pursue the promises of God of eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 5, verse 11, through the end of chapter 6, the writer takes a 24-verse break. It's a digression. He wants to talk about Jesus as the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He introduces that in verse 10. Then he takes a break. I want to talk about that, but you're not ready for it because you're still on milk. You're not ready for solid food. Well, let's talk about the fact that you're still on milk. So he spends 24 verses talking about their regress, how they're going backwards. Takes a recess to talk about regress. And then at the end of chapter 6, verse 20, you'll see he reintroduces the whole matter of Jesus Christ becoming a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, and then he gets back to the main subject. So the verses we're looking at are a digression or a break, a 24-verse break, or a recess on regress. Pilgrim's regress. To explain, to challenge our backsliding in faith. And really, when it comes down to it, which one of us is moving fully forward in our faith as we ought to be? Is there anyone? At the end of 2017, can anybody say, I've used every opportunity for growth possible? I think we all need to say at the end of the year, forgive me, Lord, for not making the most of every opportunity to grow. Forgive me for the ways in which I've wasted your word, which I've wasted the ministry of the word, and not made the most of every opportunity to make progress as a pilgrim on the pathway to glory. And we have to ask ourselves that question. Are you moving backwards in your faith? Or are you moving forward? Well, let's see Pilgrim's regress here. What's happening when those who are in the church who profess Christ are actually slipping in their faith? What's really going on? We want to see first the problem, then the consequences, and thirdly, the solution to regress. And carry on with that further this afternoon with God's help. First, the problem of pilgrims' regress. The problem. The writer here says in verse 11, we have much to say about this. About God designating Jesus Christ to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. I've got a lot I want to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. You're dull is the word of hearing. He's talking to the Hebrew Christians. They were the first ones on the day of Pentecost to receive and believe the gospel after Jesus rose and ascended to heaven, the Hebrews. He's speaking here to Jewish converts who got to grow up with all the Old Testament teachings. They were the first to be converted in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even as they went out to Gentile territories, to the ends of the earth, they went where? To the synagogues first, the Jewish people first. And thousands were converted to Christ in the first few weeks after Jesus rose and ascended. And Acts 6 tells us even a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The leaders who had crucified him were converted. And so these guys, these Christians, should be leading the way in the church, encouraging brothers and sisters, admonishing them, helping them. They should be leading the way and sharing God's word amongst each other. They should be leading the way in evangelism and witness to their neighbors. As mature Christians who can help others, that's where they should be. This is about 25, 30 years after many of these people became Christians. But many of them are immature. And they're backsliding in their faith. And they're suffering from the no growth syndrome. The no growth syndrome. Ever felt that? Ever been there in your life? And the problem is, as he explains it in verse 11, is they're slow to learn or dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. It's not an ear problem that a hearing aid can fix. It's not an intellectual problem of learning impairment. It's a heart issue. The same word dull is used only in one other place in the whole New Testament. And if you turn ahead to 6 verse 12, that's where it's used again. If you just move ahead to 6 verse 12. That same word for slow of learning or dull is used again in verse 12. We do not want you to become, there it is, lazy. It's the same word. You're lazy in your hearing of the word. You're indifferent. You come to church, but you're indifferent, he's saying. You have a little interest. You're making no effort. You're not embracing the word. You're not engaging with the Christ. You're not receiving it and making it your own. You're not growing. That's the problem. They sit under the word like good Christians are supposed to, but they don't engage with God. Their minds and hearts have become passive toward the Word. They're not listening intentionally. They're not coming to worship. They're not doing their devotions with a zeal to learn and grow and change and tell others. That's gone. They've become cold. They put no effort into their faith. That's what that means. Dull of hearing or lazy of hearing. They're wasting the Word through indifference. They're wasting opportunities to grow and mature in their faith by spiritual laziness. It's like your children, right? Sometimes you give them instructions and you say, look at me. And they have this glazed look and you know nothing's registering. Well, that's the kind of hearing he's talking about here. Now, it's not the first time in Hebrews that the writer mentions this problem. Brother Yatnin preached from Hebrews 2, verse 1 a little bit ago. We must be more careful to pay attention to what we've heard so we don't drift away. He's already given them a clue. We've got a problem here, Christians, church. We must pay more careful attention to what we've heard so we don't drift away. And then in chapter 3, don't let your heart become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin so that you turn away from the living God. Watch out. And then again in chapter 4, don't listen to the Word like the Israelites did in the wilderness. They had the gospel preached to them in the wilderness, but they didn't mix the hearing with faith. So the Word was no value to them and they didn't enter the promised land. So he's already given a clue, but now the Holy Spirit's actually going to spend time diagnosing and treating this age-old problem among God's people of backsliding. Problem of stagnation in faith, going nowhere in your spiritual life. And the Word going into your ear and then landing with a dull thud on your heart. On a heart that's just not ready to do anything with it. As James talks about also to Hebrew Christians. They were hearing the Word only, but not doing it. Not interested really in it. Not wanting to make progress. They were pilgrims in regress. And we often find ourselves in that spot individually. And maybe even as a church. Getting comfortable. And not really being that open to the Word, perhaps. Do you experience that? Wasting the Word. But where does that come from, this problem of regress? No appetite for learning the Word, this dullness of hearing. It comes, congregation, when your heart is set on other things. You got your plate too full with other things, other loves. So that you have no appetite anymore for the Word of God. If you're in love with money, that will make you numb to the Word. It'll steal your appetite for Christ. If you're in love with yourself, if you're addicted to pornography or alcohol or drugs, that will steal away your zeal for the Word, make you dull of hearing, put a callus over your heart. So the Word lands with a dull thud. If you're enamored with worldly philosophies like the basic goodness of man, or the Bible is a myth, or all religions are created equal, or man can become great by unleashing the power within himself, if we become enamored with worldly philosophies, that will make us numb to the Word. It'll put us in a spot of regress. And it's an extremely serious problem. Because he goes on to say in chapter 6 that if it continues that way, if you're not sensitive to that problem, if you don't repent, you're not going to make it to heaven. That's how serious this problem is. So we have to take it seriously. Now he's confident that because they're saved, they will take it seriously. And the Holy Spirit will use this challenge to change the problem of the dullness of hearing. Well, let's move secondly to the consequences of being dull of hearing. Being dull of hearing, lazy in listening, not working with the Word, putting no effort into growing in your faith. As 2 Peter 1 says, make every effort to develop your faith. And he mentions all kinds of ways in which we ought to develop our faith, seven ways to develop our faith in 2 Peter 1. if we are in regress, this leads to terrible consequences in the Christian faith of life and life. And the text mentions three consequences here. Number one, it leaves you immature in your understanding of the truth. Look at verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Nothing wrong with the elementary truths of God's word. Let's rejoice in them. Let's dig deeper into them. The problem is, saying, it's like you heard it the first, second, and third time, it never registered. You don't even know the basics. And it leaves us immature in our understanding of the truth. We still need milk. After all these years, we still can't handle solid food, he's saying. It's when you can't digest the deeper teachings about Christ and his righteousness after you've been in the Christian way for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We've got a problem when you're still with the ABCs. And not only that, needing to learn the ABCs all over again. What was the alphabet again? I haven't been paying attention. Because you didn't put any work, he's saying, into letting it register because your mind was on other things. And so you remain a spiritual baby. That's the one consequence of regress. You stay on milk when you should be moving to solid food, to steak. Just imagine if you're gathering for Christmas dinner, you've got your family all together, you're sitting down to a wonderful Christmas dinner, and suddenly your 35-year-old cousin over there sitting at that table reaches his hand into a bag and pulls out a baby bottle and starts sucking back. And what's the problem? Well, he just hasn't got past that yet. He doesn't like meat. And he certainly doesn't like beans and cauliflower. That's grotesque. That's sick. That's a problem. If you're a new Christian, you need to be on milk. If you've been in the way, the Christian way, for years and years and years, and you're still needing milk, that's a problem. That's what he's describing here. They still can't define faith, a lot of these people he's writing to. They still can't explain salvation to their neighbor. And that's the second consequence. Not only does it leave you immature in your understanding of the truth, it leaves you incapable of teaching others. Verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, how is it that people can be under the word for 40, 50 years and they're no further along in their faith? Still can't define faith, still can't explain salvation to their neighbor, still can't offer a spiritual understanding of sin. Still can't talk about how Christ has fulfilled the law for us and he is our righteousness. Look at verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Still can't explain how Christ is our righteousness. This is totally tragic. That doesn't mean that we must all become theologians. That's not what he's saying here. But obviously, if we can't instruct anyone in the very basis of Christianity, it's only because we haven't been pursuing Christian growth. We've been not engaged. We've been listening, hearing, without being engaged, without saying, I want to learn this so I can know it and I can share it. I can say it to my children and my grandchildren and to my neighbor and to my brother and my sister who's struggling. So it leaves us immature in our understanding of the truth. Stay on milk. Now, I know Peter says, like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk of the word. And our appetite, we always ought to be like babies, never having enough milk, always wanting more. That's in our appetite. But in our diet, and that's what he's talking about here, we've got to desire to move past the milk of the word to the solid food, the steak of the word, so that we can bless others. So that's the second consequence. It leaves us incapable of teaching others. And then the third consequence, it leaves you undiscerning with respect to good and evil. He says that in verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. By constant use of solid food, they've trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What's the solid food that they're using that trains them to distinguish good from evil? It's the Word. Then the milk will do that too. If you're still on milk for whatever reason, because you're a new Christian, or just because you haven't been engaged with God for 30 years, start where you're at and use the Word. But when you don't, use it. Then you do not develop in discerning between what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false, what's good and what's bad, what's pleasing to God and what's not pleasing to God. And we become easily tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because we aren't maturing in our faith. And we become like very little ones who don't know the difference between the hot plate on the stove and the food to be eaten. It leaves us vulnerable to cults, to error, to ungodliness. God's purpose for us is to dig deeper and deeper into Scripture. And you know what happens whether you're on milk or in transition from milk to solid food or in solid food? What happens when you're using the Word? Your spiritual antenna develop. They're internal. And you begin to sense. You begin to know this is right. This is wrong. This is good. This is bad. This is pleasing to God. This is not pleasing to God. Truth internalized is like armor that protects us from the devil's schemes. Truth internalized is like armor that protects us from the devil's schemes and helps us to fight him. Now, all of us have to watch out for the danger of being taken in by falsehood. We're all vulnerable. But it's for that reason, if we're learning the Word and growing in faith, then we have strength in Christ to take our stand. But if we're not learning and developing, we have no firm ground to stand on, and we will fall. And so those who suffer from the no-growth syndrome don't develop that discernment. They're very vulnerable. Easily taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy as a teenager. I remember a man who in his 50s, a lifelong member of the church, suddenly ran off with the cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Plunged in the whole way. It was shocking. But the real issue was that this man had always been a pew potato, just showing up but never doing anything with the Word. Very passive. Well, what about us, dear people of God? How are we handling the Word of God in our lives? How are you relating to the message of the Bible, Christ Jesus coming in our flesh, taking our place in sin and the curse, rising to justify us, ascending to open heaven for us, reigning on the throne to gather into one flock sinners by His Spirit and Word, coming again to judge the living and the dead? Are you engaging with Him, your Savior? And are you making use of the so many opportunities He gives you to grow? The means of grace, the preaching of the Word in the assembled congregation, the diligent use of the sacraments, making sure you witness the baptisms and use the Lord's Supper, taking advantage of the Bible study opportunities, taking advantage of good, solid internet sermons and lectures. Reading good books, even if all you can handle is little books. That's no problem. If all you can do is read slowly, that's okay. Careful, prayerful, meaningful Bible reading at home. That's the way to move on from infancy in our faith to maturity. To move on from milk to solid food. And that's what we see thirdly. That's the solution to backsliding. But verse 14, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You didn't become mature, or you don't grow in maturity just by getting older, just by having a Bible on the shelf or coming to church. You become mature. You grow in your maturity. You take little steps forward by constant use. By constant use. Using the Word. You see, the solution is not easy, but it's simple. It may be difficult, but it's not complicated. You use the Word. You use the solid food. That's the Word. But if you happen to be still in milk, that's the word too. You use then the milk. But now you start drinking the milk in a new way. Before, when you received the milk, you paid no attention. You received it as a dull learner. But now you say, and you drink the milk in a new way, I want to grow. I want to know Christ more. I want to trust Him more. I want to love Him more. I want to share Him more. I want to follow Him more. I want to keep His commandments more. I want to hope in Him more. I want to be with Him more. Now drink the milk or eat the food as someone who wants to grow and make progress in faith and to move on to deeper truths, to solid food. Now, how do you know for sure this will happen? If you use the word, you will grow more and more mature in your faith. It will happen. It can't not happen. You will, if you receive the word with an open heart, doesn't matter where you're at in your faith life, if you start right now, if you've had not been paying attention all these years, you will develop into greater maturity. Walking the right way on the pilgrim's pathway to the promised land. It's guaranteed. Why? It's guaranteed to work. Just page back to the previous chapter, 4 verse 12. Same page in the Pew Bibles. Here's the reason. 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word is powerful. It works in you who believe. Because it's the message of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. It carries the divine Savior. And when that word begins to work in you, and you use it in faith, it's dynamite. It's powerful. It's Christ Himself forming Himself in you. It's guaranteed to work. It's the Spirit's tool to invade you, to break you down and build you up and give you progress. But that moving from regress to progress to using the word has to start with repentance. I must repent of my regress. If you're convicted by this message, you can get mad at the preacher and ignore the word and go on in your regress, being a dull hearer, to your own spiritual destruction. Or you can repent. And this is what you and I and all of us need to do. To repent of spiritual drift and backsliding, to say, here's an example of a prayer. Lord, I've not given enough heart and headspace to your word in my life. I've let other cravings take my heart captive. Those idols in my life have dulled my heart to your word. They've stolen my appetite for Christ. I made a commitment to sin, and I just couldn't afford to let your word in because I didn't want it to mess up my love affair with sin. I've made the pursuit of this world more important than the pursuit of Christ. I missed the preaching of the word and the worship of the church. 50%, 60%, maybe 70% of the time. And even when I was there, I wasn't. I didn't make good use of Bible studies. I didn't prayerfully and carefully read my Bible at home. I've not been really listening to you, Lord. But now, I want to make your word of salvation and righteousness my first priority. Please, Lord, peel the layer of hardness off my heart. Fill me with hunger for Jesus, for knowing Him, trusting Him, following Him more. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that Christ might dwell in me richly. I want the coming year, 2018, to be a year of growth and progress in my faith. I want my spiritual echocardiogram to be no longer a flat line of spiritual inactivity, but a lively heartbeat of desiring Christ and His truth to fill me, protect me, mold me, and shape me. Well, if this is how we respond to this passage, the way of faith in Christ, to the Spirit's challenge to us at the end of the year, Christ will work in you through His word. Maybe you'll move forward by leaps and bounds, maybe just by inches or millimeters, doesn't matter. Whatever the case is, progress is infinitely different and better than regress. May God bless his word to our hearts and lives. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of your word, which is the power of salvation in our lives. Thank you for the gift of growth in your word, so that we might grow up in our salvation. We pray, Father, that where our appetites have been dulled toward you, that you will instead make our appetites dull toward our love affair with this world, and that you will make our appetites crave for you again. And so, Father, move us from any regress to progress. We want to become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. In his name we ask this. Amen.